And I'm going to apologize ahead of time. It's like I feel like I've been trying to take a sip from a 5-inch water hose. So the Word of God is alive and it is powerful, yes. So the title of my message is Supernatural Supply. Amen. For those of you that don't know me, I used to work at a social work organization, and I was working there for a number of years. I probably started out when I was 5 because I was working there for 17 years, but I moved just about a year and a half ago, and it was totally a God move. I didn't expect it. I was actually on my way to work, and I was thanking God, like, oh, you know, I love my job. I'm so comfortable. I know all the answers, you know, like, and that was my mistake. But knowing that God orders the steps of a righteous person, I was like, okay. So that night, I got a call from a friend and who was saying, hey, somebody's looking for this position, and your name came up. And I said, okay, well, if it's God, he'll open the door. And he did, and I ended up there. And not really understanding, like, I went from social work to transportation, which is very different, but it's kind of like a nonprofit, so it worked along the same lines. And I've been really blessed by being there, and not just financially, but God gave me opportunities that I never thought I would have. One of the things, though, that I didn't see coming was a couple months ago, I found something physically wrong with me, and I was like, oh, okay, well, I'll just go to the doctor. And I didn't really have a primary care physician, but I was like, okay, this naturopath looks kind of good. So I started going to the doctor, and praise God, I'm healed. But the thing is that medical bills come in, you know, and you don't really expect those to, like, those are nothing you ever expect to come. But I was like, okay, so I got a bill for, like, $1,200, and I was like, oh, that's kind of a lot, you know? I mean, like, all they did was, like, do an x-ray or something like that, so. But I was like, yeah, that's a lot. But I didn't realize that they were looking at my old insurance from my old company. So they looked at my new insurance, and they're like, oh, yeah, it's already paid for. And I'm like, holy moly, God, you're so good, you know? So just knowing that this, if the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord, we don't necessarily always know what's coming up, but he does. So if you look at, let's see, I have so many verses here, so we're going to try to fire through these. But 1 Kings 17, and it talks about Elijah and the widow woman. You know, Elijah, he got a word from God. He was a prophet. It wasn't like he was unfamiliar with the voice of God. He heard the voice of God, right? So it talks, you can read through the entire passage, but it talks about how God led him to the brook, and he provided for him there. He provided ravens to feed him. He provided water there. It was a place of provision, but then the brook dried up. And God still continued to lead him, and he led him to the widow woman. And, you know, it's very interesting that God leads us to a place of supply. Like, he doesn't ever leave us in a place of lacking. But it wasn't just supply for Elijah, it was supply for the widow woman, and vice versa. Like, that widow woman, she only had what she thought was nothing. She was going to make, you know, a cake and die. Like, that was her plan, which is not a great plan, but that was her plan. She was like, okay, this is all I have. But Elijah said, no, wait, make me one first, and then whatever you have is not going to dry up. And I was like, wow, that's kind of mean to ask a widow, like, for your last thing. But you know what? The thing is that, what is it that people say? If it's not enough to meet the need, it's seed, right? So we seed into someone else's life, and that's where God supplies our need. So let me see. I'm going to take you to Isaiah 64:4. And it says, from of old, no one has heard or perceived by the ear. No one has seen a God besides you who acts for those who wait for him. So I'm going to tell you, supernatural supply. These are tips while you're waiting to see that supply come, okay? Number one, don't worry. Trust God. Yes. Recently, I learned that we need to let our faith be bigger than our unbelief. And I didn't realize that unbelief and faith can dwell in the same person. I usually thought it was one or the other. But the thing is that God gave all of us the measure of faith. We all have faith. If you receive Jesus, you have faith, yes, right? Amen. But sometimes it's that unbelief. It's like, oh, I diagnosed myself on Google. Or, I read the stock report. It's not that great. Or, my gosh, this relationship does not look like it's going to survive. We see things that feed into our unbelief. But if we have bigger faith than unbelief, that's when we see God meet our need. Amen? The next thing is, do what you know to do. Tithe. That's a big thing. If you have financial, if you're going through financial things, you always know you tithe. It doesn't matter what's happening, you tithe. You give. If you are going through, relationship difficulties, be kind, be loving, be generous. Do those things. Okay, the next thing is do what God tells you to do. Obey. It's a basic thing. If I didn't take the other job that God offered me, who knows? I mean, I could have had another $1,200 bill. Who knows, right? You want to partner with people with faith, not unbelief. You know, it was really important. Crystal and Pastor Jake and everybody in worship was talking about this, is that talk with somebody who knows the Bible. Talk to somebody who knows the Word of God, who can tell you, hey, what you're going through is not the end. That is, our God can do so much more. Amen? The next thing is cooperate with the Holy Spirit. You know, a lot of times I feel like I got to help him out. Like, I have a really good plan. Maybe I can just help you out a little bit. And that's not what God asks us to do. Do what he tells us to do, and that's it. He doesn't need our assistance. He just needs our obedience and our cooperation. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. The last verse, and I know you guys have heard it before, but I hope it's fresh to you today, is Philippians 4:12, and it says, "And my God will supply all of your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." You know, I used to worry about, like, oh, okay, this thing or that thing, future, or, like, if it was, like, a health thing or, a family thing, whatever it is. But the thing is that God works things out. It's not, he's never surprised by anything. You know, in Matthew 6, 7 through 8, it talks about that we ask of God, but he knows what we have need of even before we ask. He's never caught off guard. He's never surprised by what we're going through. He knows exactly what we need. So today as you give, I hope you set your hearts on doing the right thing, doing the obedient thing, partnering with God, having faith and not unbelief, trusting that as you put your seed into the offering, as you pour out to him, that God's going to supply your need. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter if you need help in your relationship. It doesn't matter if it's in your business, in your finances, in your health. God is already in the works of supplying your need. Amen? So here at the Ark, we have three quick and easy ways that you can give, and as you can see on the screen behind me, whichever method of giving you choose, we hope that you choose to give cheerfully and intentionally to the Lord. If you choose to give electronically, we'd like to encourage you to still bring your offering slip, mark on the envelope push pay, and then just drop it off and present yourself to the Lord. Guests, you are super important to us, and we want to thank you for being here. During our time of giving, we'd like to welcome you to and be a blessing to you. Some people might come up to you and put something in your hand and give a kind word and a handshake. Please receive their gift with a blessing to you personally. It's for you. Bible says that wherever your treasure is, your heart will be there. Also, we want our hearts to be with you. Amen? If you'd like a giving envelope, there's probably one tucked in a seat behind you, or you can raise your hand and an usher will give one to you. In this church, we believe that the Bible says to bring your tithes, so we place the baskets at the front pretty soon. Baskets are coming. They're on their way. But when they're here, you can put your offering in them. And once you've filled out your offering envelopes and ready to give, please come and give. And then if you can greet the guests around you, that'd be awesome. Thank you. All right. If you guys can extend your faith towards this way. Oh. All right, ready, y'all? Gotta make sure that one gets blessed, too. And that one, too. All right, Lord God, we just thank you for your goodness. Lord, we thank you that you do supply all of our needs according to your riches, not our riches, God, but according to everything that you have and everything that you've already provided for us for your goodness. We thank you that this offering is blessed, that you multiply back to your people, God, for your good work. We just thank you so much for your goodness. We thank you for everything that you've already done and you're yet to do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Are you guys ready? You're ready? Doesn't sound like you're ready. Are you ready? Yeah. Please welcome our most anointed and wonderful pastor, Pastor Jake. Amen.
Oh, you guys are too kind. Hey, would you give Jesus a big shout? Jesus, you're awesome.
Thank you, Lord.
Well, man, I am so glad that you guys are here today. Before I get ministering in this message, I want to give you a couple of announcements and then we'll let the kids go. I want to let you know, first of all, if you need anything at all, if you need to get signed up for our Compass course, which is like our Basics for Believers class, so that you can meet with somebody, so that you can learn what's going on, what the Bible says, so that you can get plugged in. If you need to find a connect group to be a part of, if you want to sign up for a potluck, if you want to come on the hike with us, I mean, pretty much Information Central is right back there at our Welcome Center. I'm going to put Teresa on the spot. Hi, Teresa. Teresa is absolutely amazing, and if you just want to meet Teresa, you know, you could just go back there and say, hey, Teresa, and there are lots of papers. I know we're working on a better system than a whole bunch of papers, so things don't get buried there, but you know what? In the meantime, paper works. It's worked for a long time, so we're going to do that for now, but if you need anything, the Welcome Center is the place to go, and you can get the information. If they don't have the information, they will get the information, and then they will get the information to you, but that is a great place for you to be able to connect with us. Do want to ask you, if you're going to be coming on the hike with me, so if you want to spend like 8 hours of your day with me on a hike, going to the top of the mountain range, start praying that the rain stops. Because if it is raining at all, it is like a total no-go up there. It is a crazy hike. It is for advanced hikers, very fit people only. If you are not in that category, please do not come. We want you to be able to make it back without having to raise you from the dead. And so if you would like to be a part of that, we welcome you to, as long as you are able to handle the 13-mile trek all the way up to the top of the Ko'olau Mountain Range and come back in one piece without me having to carry you, because I'm not that big. Other than that, we've got amazing things going on throughout the community. We've got amazing things going on throughout this church. If you are wondering what's going on, you can either go to our app or you can go to our website. You can find our calendar of events, even printed out on paper at the Welcome Center. So if you want to be involved, that is the best way to get involved. Find out what's going on and then just show up like a crazy stalker person. Just show up at random places, knowing that we'll be there. By the way, Tuesdays and Thursdays, if you want to spend some time with me, best way to do that is you'll know that I'm at Life Fit every Tuesday and every Thursday night. Come and get your sweat on, get your cardiovascular and weight training on. It is a great place to invest in the temple that the Lord gave you in your body. Great people are there too, and it is a super encouraging environment, even for the deconditioned athlete. All right, that's it. I'm going to turn the kids' class teachers loose over on this side over here, and in just a moment, the kids can go over and meet them. Thank you, parent helpers, and those that are not parents yet, but you're helpers anyway. Thank you for helping. We appreciate you being a blessing down there with the kids. They are a heritage of the Lord. Lord God, we just thank you for these kids. We thank you for their future. We thank you for their destiny. We thank you for the teachers that are helping to impart that to them. And God, we pray that they would become the men and women of God that you're calling them to be, with no hang-ups, no downfalls, but everything's on the upside for them. We bless them now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Well, I'm so excited that you are here today. I'm excited to preach this word to you. And this might be your first time in church or whatever. Don't worry, you won't be lost. I try to explain things pretty clearly. By the way, Deborah, I'm so glad that you're here today. If you don't know Deborah, I don't know Deborah either. This is the first time that she's been at church that I know of. And you know what? Isn't that amazing that in a group this size that God would know that Deborah was here today, needing exactly what she needed, and that God would call that out and let me know that. I mean, if you don't believe in God, my goodness, that is a funky coincidence, is it not? I mean, if that's a coincidence, I ought to go to Las Vegas and start pulling slot machine handles, because otherwise it's God. I mean, only God knows that kind of stuff. And I'm so glad that you chose to be here today, Deborah, because God had a meeting with you. And we're going to believe God to hear a great report about the healing that he's doing in your body, whatever it was that you needed. So I'm glad that you came today. Those of you that didn't need a healing, let me tell you that God has an encounter waiting for you as well. By the way, Micah, those pictures that were at the beginning of the announcements, those are pretty awesome. I mean, you caught me preaching, like, and I wasn't all looking like... If you've ever tried to take a picture of somebody that is in the middle of talking, it is one of the hardest things to do. That's why I hear, you know, the hold down the shutter thing. Click, 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 like that, you know, because that way you can pick out a good photo. Thank you for doing that for me and not making me look as strange as I could have. I appreciate that. Well, today I'm going to be ministering to you about the supernatural life. This is actually part 4 of a series. And for those of you that have missed the first 3 parts, don't even worry about it. You can either go back and listen to them on our website, on our app, or on any of our podcasts that are out there on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, whatever. They're out there. Just search us up. And you can listen to those. However, if you choose not to, you won't be lost today. I'm going to make this a standalone message, and you'll get a lot out of it as well. As I'm preaching, you may want to take some notes. The notes are available on our website. They're also available in hard copy at, guess where? The Welcome Center. That's right. And you can grab onto those. You can fill those out. Even though we're on a break from Connect Groups right now, you can still take notes. I think it's always a good thing to do that, because a short pencil is better than a long memory. And so you want to take some notes, fill in the blanks there, and it'll help you to refresh yourself. Our family had a mini Connect group over dinner the other night at our dining table, and we just went through the questions, and they're like, we already did that question. Sorry. If it's a repeat, that's okay. Just give your repeat answer. I wasn't in their group earlier anyway, so I learned something new about how they cure hiccups. And I asked them if they tried drinking from the far side of the cup, and they had not. So we'll have them drink from the far side of the cup soon and see what happens if it cures their hiccups. Well, today I'm going to be talking to you about the supernatural life, part 4, and I'm going to start off by giving you a quick recap, kind of like if you watch a series, they tell you what happened last time in the series. So last week in the supernatural life, this is what took place. First of all, we found out that the supernatural life is a life of overflow. It's a life of more than enough, so that we have more than enough for just ourselves, but we have enough for others. Do you know that that's a pretty selfish lifestyle, to just live for ourselves and what we can do for ourselves? Man, if it's all about us, then we ought to just, I don't know, go be a hermit somewhere and just you do you, boo-boo. You know, I mean, you gotta live for other people that are around us. Have more than enough so that you're not lacking, but you have enough to give to other people. Do you know that that's God's reason to give you abundance? Not so that you can just consume it on your own lust, but so that you can be a blessing to the people around you. I think that if we get that mindset and we start to be those people that want to give out and give out and give out, God will be like, you know what? This person needs more. I got to give them more so that they can do more. Yeah. I think that God wants us to live in the realm of overflow. Number two, our life is meant to be a river that brings life to those around us. You know that even the desert can bloom when a river starts flowing through it. There could be a rainstorm that happens up in the mountains hundreds of miles away. But when the water starts to touch the desert, all of a sudden it comes to life. Now, there might be people around you that are living in a desert season in their life. But guess what? When you're a river, you get around them and their life might just start to blossom. I think that you're important in people's worlds more so than you may even realize. Number three. That we found out that chasing hard after God and serving Him, check it out, a lot, is not the cause of burnout. Actually, lack of doing things God's way is the cause of burnout. When we do things God's way, He sustains us. When we do things God's way, He empowers us. When we do things God's way, He takes His energy, if you will, and puts it on the inside of us so that we can keep on going. And when we do things our own way or after our own desires, that's when we hit burnout. But we can serve God tirelessly our entire life, never hit burnout when we serve God His way, and that way happens to be supernaturally. Number four, we don't ever have to run dry in our life. You know, you think about if I'm giving out and giving out and giving out, shouldn't I be running dry? I'm going to run out eventually. You know, that is a total mindset of lack. That's a lack mind because we're so used to having finite resources, right? You look in your wallet or whatever if you carry cash and you know that if you keep on giving out, you're going to run out. Unless you keep on putting more in than you give out, at which rate you're actually accumulating and you're just trying to make as much room as possible so you can keep putting more in. You see, when we start allowing God to fill us up, when we start giving out and we give out of the top of the container, then all we have to do is keep on getting filled and we will never run dry. You don't have to have a lack mindset with God. God has so much. In fact, the Bible says this, that He will give out to you so much that there wouldn't even be room enough to contain it. You ever see some guys walking around with these wallets that cause them back problems? You know what I mean? It's the fat wallet that they stick in their pocket, and so their one hip is like adjusted this way because whenever they sit, their hip is up like that. It's that fat old wallet, right? Can you imagine? There's no room to contain it. I don't know what you got in there because it ain't a lot of money because I seen in there. There's like scraps of paper, people's phone numbers, business cards. There's receipts in there. I know you don't ever look at your receipts. You just collect them for some reason. There's no room to contain anymore. God wants to take you beyond the fat wallet and He wants you to be in the realm where there isn't room enough to contain it. Can you say amen to that? Look, I'm going to give you some bonus material that's not going to be on the screen. So back there, don't even worry about it. This was brand new from last night. I wanted to just share this with you, that we cannot fully preach the good news of Jesus Christ without the supernatural. You know, not to put her on the spot, but to Deborah, the good news today is that Jesus is a healer. Do you know that without the supernatural healing power of God, we're stuck, aren't we? We're stuck with coincidence. We're stuck with happenstance. We're stuck with luck. But when God is on our side, if God is for us, then who can be against us? We need the supernatural power of God. It is the good news to someone who is sick that you can be healed. It is the good news to somebody who is in a desperate financial situation that you don't have to have lack anymore. It is the good news that when you're feeling depressed, that God can overturn your depression and bring sorrow into joy. You see, we need the supernatural power of God. You don't need medication, you need Jesus. Sometimes medication gets us far enough until we finally get our believer in gear. And I'm not against doctors, I'm not against medication, but I think that we need to begin to get into a realm where God is our everything. I think medicine can keep us alive until we get into a realm of faith. And then faith will heal us. You know what I'm saying? I won't talk about my primary care physician. But you know, the idea nowadays is like if you have a condition, medicate it. And then it's like steering this way, and then you oversteer that way. And we've had some testimonies recently of people that had upped blood pressure medication, and now all of a sudden they got low blood pressure, so they're all dizzy and stuff. So then what do? You steer back this way, and you're like, Let's not do that in our life, but let's let God order our steps. Thank you, Kim, for that word today. The steps of a righteous person are commanded and directed of the Lord. Do you know that God is not taking your life all over the place, all willy-nilly, about to crash into everything? It might be a wild ride, but he knows exactly what he's doing. Amen. It's not miscalculated. It's perfectly calculated. Yeah. I think that it's important that we live the supernatural life. You know, the supernatural, miracle-working power of God was the only thing that caught my attention. I was raised in church. I was raised in a religious church. I was raised in a church where everything was wrong except cosmic bowling and Disney movies. Fun was totally off the menu. Can't do that. That's sinful too. But you know what? The thing is that the only thing, so I didn't want to serve a God like that. The only thing that caught my attention was the supernatural, miracle-working power of God. I can be in any religion and be religious all day long for the rest of my life. Any religion will do that. But only God can do the supernatural. Yeah. Only God can reach the ones that are so far that nothing will touch them. Nothing. See, religion didn't heal the leper that I was talking about in worship. There were religious people all around him. The Pharisees, the Sadducees. He was living in a religious community. I mean, he was living in Israel. They were religious people, and he was still sick and dying. Yeah, that's right. Can I tell you that religion will not heal your life? Religious systems will not heal your life. In fact, they'll kill you. Religion will kill you faster than it'll heal you. But Jesus is a healer. Amen. Jesus is the source of life and strength, and he is a supernatural living God. We need to come to Jesus, not to church. Now, I'm not saying don't come to church, because Jesus is at church. I'm saying that when we come to church, don't come to religion, come to Jesus. I'm saying that when we come to church, that we're not coming here to punch a religious time card and say, yeah, I did my religious thing this week. It's about connecting with a real and living God. Can you imagine if all I did with my wife was to do the responsibilities that she expects of me, whether it's to clean the toilet or to wash the dishes or to at this point do lots of construction? I mean, can you imagine if that's all that I did and we had no relationship at all? Now, I apologize if I'm getting a little too close to home for some of you married folks. I'm just saying that doing all the things doesn't give you relationship. Doing all the church things doesn't give you relationship either. Relationship is born out of time spent face to face, heart to heart, mind to mind. Relationship is built out of that stuff. And that is the thing that is going to last more than anything else. I think it's important that we build and consistently and constantly build our relationship with Jesus Christ. If you had a relationship with Jesus once upon a time, but now you've just fallen into religion, I challenge you, my friend, go back to the way that it used to be. If you're married today and all you got is a series of honeydews, I challenge you, go back to the way that it used to be. It starts in your heart. It starts with doing the things that you used to do. Quit driving off before your wife gets her foot in the car, you know? All right, enough of that. That was just the recap. I want to tell you today that what you need to know about the supernatural life is that the supernatural life is a fun and joy-filled life. Amen. Say amen. Amen. I'm not here to preach to you the not gospel of religion to put you in bondage and tell you can't do anything that's fun. That's not what we're going to do today. We're going to talk to you about the fact that the supernatural life is fun and joy-filled. Check this out. Psalm chapter 45 and verse 7. In the Holman Christian Standard Version of the Bible, all my scriptures will be up here on the screen, but you can look it up, and I hope you will, in your own version of the Bible. It says this: you love righteousness and hate wickedness. By the way, this is talking about Jesus. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of joy more than your companions. In other words, Christian, you ought to be the most joyful person in the room. Now, in this room, it ought to be a competition for who's the most joyful one, because we should all be joyful in the presence of God. You see, but there's a cause for Jesus' joy. Do you know that doing righteous things actually causes joy to rise up in our heart? It causes us to have joy in our life. Here's the thing. The great lie from the devil is that the enjoyment of sin is as good as it's going to get. That's the great lie. This is as good as it's going to get, the whole sin thing, and that living a holy life will be sad and boring. Can I ask you a real honest question? And it's not a rhetorical question. In other words, I actually want you to answer it for me. Have you ever thought that if I live a holy life, like God's kind of holy, because the Bible says that God is holy. Yeah. How holy is he? Perfectly holy. Yeah. No mixture, right? Purely holy. And if I live that kind of a holy life, how many of you have ever thought, if I live that kind of life, I am going to be bored out of my mind and so sad, but I'll be holy? I mean, if that was you, come on, raise your hand. Let me see your hand. Oh, good, we actually preach the gospel in here? There's just a few of you that thought that. Well, I've thought that plenty of times. In fact, there are times that it runs across my mind even now. Because I see some people out there, and maybe it looks like they're having a great time. In fact, the guy after God's own heart, his name was David, one of the greatest kings in Israel. The Bible says that he was looking at the people around him that were doing sinful things, and he was saying, look at them, they're having so much fun. Look at them, they are prospering. Why are they prospering when our God is a holy God? And then he said this, he said, but then I went to the house of the Lord. And I understood what happens at the end of the road. And all of a sudden, my heart was changed. Do you know that when you live a holy life, it's not going to be a sad life? That when you live a holy life, that joy is going to come? I know that it seems so almost, it's against instinct in so many ways. It's like when you think about, if I eat a clean diet, I'm going to be miserable. Anybody ever thought that? Come on, I'm talking about food now. I'm going to be miserable when I eat a clean diet. Check this out. Bet you didn't know this. Did you know that most of your happy hormones come from your intestines? I'm telling you, it's the truth. Your happy hormone, serotonin, comes from your intestines. And do you know that if we don't put the right things in there to make our intestines happy, I'm not talking about your tongue, I'm talking about your intestines. If we don't put the right things in to make our intestines happy, our brain isn't happy. Did you know that certain fast food places that have the golden arcs, that when you eat too much of that stuff, it actually causes like depression hormones to be released from your intestines? So although your tongue might be like, hallelujah, your intestines are like, I'm gonna die. And then depression comes on us, and we're like, how come I'm so depressed? I just ate something that I love to eat. That's because we're putting the wrong thing into our intestines. It's not about your tongue. I think there's a lesson to be learned in that. That that the Bible says that discipline doesn't taste good at first, but it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Don't worry about it. I'm all right. Discipline never tastes good up front. But you know what? When you win gold medals, it tastes pretty good. I mean, when you look at people that are winning and winning, when you look at Michael Phelps and the training that he had to do you know that the dude was eating, I don't even know what it was, like 15,000 calories a day? And he was at 3% body fat. And swimming just constantly. I mean, all he did was swim and eat, swim and eat. There was probably another step in there somewhere, which we won't talk about here for certain reasons. But there was eating and there was swimming and probably something else. And you know, it's like, why would you do that? Why would you do that? Because at the end of the day, all I do is win, 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 win. Because at the end of the day, all the gold medals and the winningest, most gold medals of any athlete across all the time since the Olympics started, that's why. Yeah. If you like to win, can I tell you that we've got to have this thing called discipline and holiness, and joy will begin to come. It is a lie from the pit of hell that doing holy things, living a holy life, is going to cause you to be sad and bored. It is a lie. And you know what? By and large, it has worked. But can I show you something about the devil? Yep. This is very interesting. John chapter 8, verse 44. In the English Standard Version of the Bible, check it out. It says, you are of your father, the devil. This is before you're born again. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. So when we ask ourselves sometimes as Christians, why do people do such nasty things to one another? Because that's what they're supposed to do. It's in their DNA from their father, the devil. That's what they're supposed to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth. Listen, the devil does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. People that don't have truth in them cannot tell the truth even if they want to tell the truth. But there's no truth in them. It's like somebody who's misinformed. Like they looked something up on Wikipedia. They read something on the internet, and then they keep on telling you the same thing that they read on the internet. By the way, not everything you read on the internet is true. And they keep on saying it. Why? Because it's not because they're trying to lie. They just have no truth in them because they don't have the truth. They only have the lie. That's like the devil. There is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character. For listen, he is a liar and the father of lies. When the devil talks to you, don't listen to him. He is lying to you. How do you know that he's lying? He's talking. Why? Because the truth is not in him. He cannot tell the truth. I know some people that listen to the devil more than they listen to Jesus. And you wonder why we're confused. We can't listen to the lies that the devil says because the Bible says that when Jesus did the works of holiness, that he was anointed with joy above all his brethren, above everybody. He was the most joyful guy in the room. Now, don't think about the picture of Jesus that you've seen all around with, you know, the white guy with the beard and the light-colored eyes and all that. Like, Jesus wasn't English. If he had popped out of his mom looking English, people would have been scared. He probably looked just like everybody else, Jewish. And don't let people tell you that Jesus was poor and busted up and broken down and everything. No, Jesus started out life with gold and frankincense and myrrh enough so that he could take he and his family down to Egypt and sustain them there for years. Read your Bible. Jesus was not some beat down, skinny, just whatever. Jesus made a whip and beat a whole bunch of people. He was flipping tables over in the synagogue and everything. Jesus wasn't some little waify guy that couldn't lift the table. He wasn't like, gah. Jesus probably deadlifted a lot. I'm extrapolating. But you see, the picture that we have of Jesus is very important because people think that Jesus looks sad all the time. Blessed are they that do hunger. In fact, I'm very hungry right now. Do hunger and thirst. We think that he was hungry all the time and had halitosis from not drinking water. That's not how it was. Jesus was anointed with the oil of gladness and the oil of joy above everybody. He was a happy dude. Why do you think everybody wanted to be around him? And they did. Everybody, all the sinners wanted to be around this guy. Why? Because they're like, whatever he's having, I want some of that. Don't listen to the devil. He's the father of lies, and the truth is not in him. So why are we continuing to listen to the devil? Let's stop that stuff. That's lame. Don't listen to the devil anymore. Look, sin may seem enjoyable, but it will keep you from experiencing, listen, the maximum amount of joy possible. So here's the thing. When someone becomes a finely tuned athlete, now I'm not talking from a finely tuned athlete's perspective standing before you. I just happen to know a few finely tuned athletes and have been around them throughout the course of my athletic career. And I will tell you that when you get to a certain point, you have to start dialing things in to a very specific amount. Do you know that they said on the World Cup recently, have you been watching the Women's World Cup? Pretty awesome. Did you know that on the United States World Cup team, if what they said is accurate on the thing, that they produce, that they mix up electrolytes in a specific blend for every individual athlete? It's not like here's some Gatorade for you. Not that Gatorade is bad or anything. They're mixing up specifically blended electrolytes for every individual athlete. You know why they're doing that? Because they are finely tuned machines. Because without that, they aren't going to recover the way that they should. Because without that, because if I'm taking a supplement for someone else, let's say, for instance, you know, if somebody is bald and they're having some hair replacement therapy or something, and somebody else gets a hold of that who's already hairy, bad situation. Overgrowth is possible. You want to take the right thing for who you are. Am I right? Yeah. You see, so we got to dial it in when we start getting to a certain spot. When you first come to meet Jesus, the best thing that you can do is just show up to church. Be in the presence of God. Just enjoy the love and the grace and the mercy of the Lord. As your life changes, it's going to require changes. It's going to require a more precise way of living. That's what holiness is. It's a precise lifestyle. Sin might seem enjoyable, but it will keep you from experiencing the maximum amount of joy possible. See, if a finely tuned athlete decides that they're going to have a treat meal and they just decide that they're going to have like a burger and some fries, it will affect their performance. See, because the maximum output is not possible upon that diet. So for you, my friend, where are you trying to get to? Are you trying to be just a generalist Christian? Are you trying to just be somebody who can show up and that's it? It's about us. But remember, we should be in it for everyone else as well. I know that I need to not only do what I need to do for me, but I got to have more than enough so that I can help other people around me. That means I got to be running top speed. I got to be running at my maximum ability, and that doesn't leave much room for sin in my life. Psalm chapter 51, verses 10 through 12. It says this, David said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit." Can I say it this way? Show me a Christian who has lost their joy in being saved and a part of God's family, and I will show you a weak, struggling Christian. When we lose our joy at the simple fact that Jesus saved us, do you know that he doesn't need to do one more thing? He did it all already. Yeah. He did enough If he does nothing else for us except rescue us from eternity in hell, he's done enough, I think. But you know what? If Jesus wouldn't do anything else, we should be so full of joy that our destination is heaven. Not only that, but while we're on this earth, Jesus wants to heap blessing and abundance and grace and, dare I say it, joy on our life. If you haven't been joyful, can I just invite you to meet Jesus? Because if you've been a part of church but you're not joyful, you got to meet Jesus. He's the one that's full of joy. Somebody who's lost their joy is a weak and struggling Christian. I guarantee you that right now. I guarantee you it. Here's what the Bible says. Nehemiah 8, verse 10 says this. Then he said to him, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. You see, Christians that are depressed and sad, where they've lost their joy in being saved and lost their joy in holiness and lost their joy in doing what Jesus did and really just being where Jesus is at, they've lost their strength. Yeah. They've lost their strength. You know, if I ever lose the joy of just being around my wife, I've lost the strength in my marriage. If I've lost the joy of being around my kids, I've lost the strength in our relationship. If I lose the joy of being around Jesus, I've lost the strength of my relationship with him. I'm telling you, we got to come back to that place of having joy. Create in me a clean heart. What's the problem here? If we don't have a clean heart, that's a problem. Restore the joy of my salvation. If I lost it, it needs to be restored. It's like a computer, right? Sometimes if it gets corrupted, you got to go and restore it from a good copy. You got to restore it. I need to be restored so that I can have joy in my heart, so I can have strength in my life. I'm almost done. Did you know that repentance is the number one way of returning to a joyful life? Isn't that interesting? Joyful, that's really made up of two words, isn't it? Not half full, not eighth full, but joyful. Amen. Life. That means filled to the brim. Remember the tea cup that I was talking about last week? Where the tea is like bubbling up over the top of the cup and any further drops will just cause it to spill over. That kind of a fullness. We need to be right there, so full, overflowing, saturated. How do we do that? Repentance. Yep. Amen. When we've been doing things our way, the natural way, the carnal way, according to the way that we used to do things, one of the saddest statements that I've ever heard in my life is someone tell me, I can do it faster myself rather than doing it God's way. I can do it faster myself rather than doing it God's way. This is true. However, it's not going to have the result that you want. You will lose your joy. You will lose your strength. You will lose your way. But repentance is the number one way. Remember what repentance is? Repentance is I was going this way, but now I'm making about face and I go this way. I return to the highest point. I return to God's way of doing things. And when we do that, joy will flood in. Here's the thing. You got to give it a little bit of time. I remember that sometimes we would, when I used to coach CrossFit, We would work with people that were deconditioned athletes, so they were, you know, a bit on the fluffier side. And if you're anything like they are, and if you're anything like I was when I was a deconditioned athlete myself, I would get started, and after 2 weeks, I'd be like, why don't I see any change? This workout thing doesn't work. Here's the question. How long did it take you to get to where you're at? Oh, 6 months? How about you give it like 3 months? To take that off. How long did it take you to get there? Oh, 10 years? How about give it a year to take that back off of there again? Let's give it some time. See, we can't do one day of holiness and say holiness doesn't work. We've got to live the lifestyle, commit to it, and give ourselves to it. And when we do, we'll see the results of it in our life. What you're seeing today is not a result of what you did yesterday, by and large. Usually what you're experiencing today is a result of what you did 6 months ago, 3 months ago, 1 month ago, and now you're reaping the harvest off of that. It's time to sow new seed. Today's a great day to start living a holy life. Repentance, my friend, is so important. When we turn around and start going back the other way, going towards God's direction, that will cause joy to come in our heart. Remember, joy is not from the tongue, it's from our intestines. It's not from up here, it's from right down here. After everything gets processed out, that's the way that joy comes, is from the inside. Can you say amen to that? I want to give you a way to amplify that joy and excitement. You ready? Miraculous and supernatural encounters are exciting. I mean, I want to point you to just a few examples in Scripture about this kind of exciting life. If you've been bored in your Christianity, can I suggest that maybe you've been living a natural, mundane, just like everyone else's life? How about we change it up and live life a different way? And live life on a supernatural level. Check it out. Luke chapter 10, verse 17 and 18, it says this, and the 70, these were 70 of Jesus' disciples. He sent them out to go do some stuff. Say this with me. Say, do some stuff. That's right. That's what it's all about, by the way. It's not listen to some stuff. It's do some stuff. So Jesus sent them out to do some stuff, and this is what happened. The 70 returned again, listen, with joy. They didn't show up beat up, beat down, tired, wore out. I don't ever want to do this again. They returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to us through your name. And he said to them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Jesus was so excited about their success. He was like, I got to get in on this. I saw him fall. And guess what? Now you have authority over devils. I don't know about you, but if you've never had authority over a devil before in your life, it gets a little bit exciting. When you go to places like Africa and stuff, we got like, some of my friends say, we got like flunky demons here, the ones that couldn't survive overseas. Yeah, they come to America. But when you go overseas, you see some stuff. I mean, I have been in places in Africa where I've seen things crawling under people's skin, just like in that old movie now, The Mummy, those scarab beetles, like underneath their skin, moving around through their body. I have seen it with my own eyes. And then you take authority over it, and in Jesus' name, get out, and you see them just gone. I've seen men with things in what they would describe as their womb. I have seen things moving around in the belly of a man. Probably about 24 of them, by the way. That's not normal, and it wasn't gas. But when you get to see some stuff like that, oh man, it gets you a little bit joyful. I don't know about you, but I like beating up on the devil because he's a loser. He's a liar and a loser. And it's important that you get this, but you know, you only get that by doing some stuff. Not just listening to some stuff, but by doing some stuff. They returned again with joy, and Jesus was excited about their success. In Matthew chapter 14, verses 15 through 21, I'm not going to read the whole passage. It's just simply this passage where Jesus has all these people following him, at least 5,000 men, which means that there were probably like at least 20,000 people there because they didn't count women and children. I know, very misogynistic, but that's not the point. They didn't count them, but there were probably 20-something thousand people there, and they were hungry. Say hungry. Some of you probably hungry. You're going to go out to eat after this. They were hungry. And Jesus said, feed them. And the disciples are like, I only got like $5. There's no value menu that's going to do this for us. And he said, feed them. He said, all we've got here is we've got a little boy that's got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. It wasn't two whales and two bakery and five bakeries. You know what I'm saying? It was a little boy's lunch. Five loaves and two fishes, and he said, feed them. He looked up to heaven and he broke it, and then he started passing it out. Now, I don't know about you, but I think about the Bible when I read it. So I'm thinking, if I'm one of these disciple guys, and he hands me some bread and some fish, and he's like, break it and give it. And I break it and I give it, and then there's more in my hand. I'm like, what the heck? Break it and give it, and there's more in my hand. And they broke it and gave it, and everybody had eaten enough that they were full. And then there were 12 baskets left over after a little boy's sack lunch. Yeah. Now, if that is not exciting, you better, like, hold your fingers up against the side of your neck and check for a pulse, because that would freak me out. This is like never-ending bread. A carboholic would be so happy. But thank God the fish was rich in omega-3 fatty acids and they were all right. They all ate and they were filled. Say filled. You ever been to a buffet where you ate so much unwisely that if you ate one more bite, it was going to bust out the back of your eyes? Matt had that experience with us the other night at our potluck. You're just so full. It's like it's right there. These people were so full off of one little boy's sack lunch. Supernatural. Luke chapter 4, verse 24 through 30. This is an account of Jesus about Jesus preaching in the synagogue. And he's talking to them about Elijah and about some lepers and all of these things. And then it says at the end of this passage, it says, they were filled with wrath. They didn't want to hear the good news. They didn't want to hear the gospel. And so all of these religious people were so mad at Jesus that it says they led him to the brow of the hill. Okay, I don't think that they led him like, come with me, Jesus. I think they probably were shoving him along the way. Let's go. They led him to the brow of a hill on which their city was built. Listen, that they might throw him down over the cliff. I love it. Next verse. Then passing through the midst of them, he went his way. Wait a minute. So there's this crowd thronging him, pushing him, gonna throw him off the cliff, and all of a sudden he just walks right through the middle of them. Out. I'm out. That's supernatural. Have you ever thought what superpower you would like to have? Like, you want to be able to fly, you want to be like flame on, you want to, I mean, pick your superpower. Jesus is up there about to be shoved off the cliff, and then he just, I don't know how he did it, but he just like got like thinner than air and just walked right through them. See ya. And they're like pushing the air, and they're like, what? What happened? If I could do that, I would do it every day. I would purposefully tick people off just so I could walk right through them. See, the supernatural is not boring, it's exciting. If you've never been almost thrown off a cliff and then walked through people, you don't even know. I don't even know because I haven't done that yet. But the Lord has made me disappear for some people before. People that were looking for me, trying to kill me, but they couldn't get me. Hallelujah. In Acts chapter 3, verses 2 through 8, almost landing this plane. There was this guy that was lame, right? He couldn't walk. He was crippled. And he was at the gate beautiful. And then Peter and John are going to go and worship God at the temple. And they walk past this guy, and then they like stop. And they look at him, and they say, look on us. And they said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the dude gets up, and it turns into a song. It turns into this song. And he went walking and leaping and praising God, and walking and leaping and praising God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he gets up, walking and leaping and praising God. Now, if you've never seen somebody who was a cripple who could not stand, get up and start walking and leaping and praising God, it's time to live a supernatural life. If you don't think that that's exciting, I mean, I just think about it in a modern context. What if you played football, right? And somebody just gets laid out, boom, broken leg, bone coming through the pants and everything. By the way, my wife says I'm a little bit intense. So leg coming out, you know, bones coming out, the skin and everything. What if you were on that football team and you walk over to them and you lay your hands on them, boom, like the Bible says, in the name of Jesus, be healed. And their bone just, and they're totally healed. Still got blood on their pants, still got blood on the field, but their legs totally are, they just jog it off. Just jog it off. Can you imagine what the other team would think? This team is invincible. We're going to lose. That's right, you're going to lose. See, if we don't have a context for that, then we would call the ambulance. We're like, here's a Motrin. Take the Motrin, your leg's like out. But you see, it's important that we live a supernatural life. Why? For other people. Because whoever had that broken leg would be incredibly thrilled. If we're bored with our Christian life, maybe it's because we've been being a Christian spectator. Or maybe we've been a Christian referee. Tweet, you're doing it wrong. Instead of getting out there on the field of life, I think we need to get off the sideline and get into the game. Don't wait for Pastor Jake to pray for anybody. You go pray for him. You're as anointed as I am. You're just not the pastor. You're anointed with fresh oil, the oil of joy above all your brethren. I got to end. But I want to tell you just real quick that when you work hard for Jesus, when you work so hard and you just keep at it, you don't have any time to complain. You know, the most complaining folks in a stadium are the people that are not on the field playing. It's all the people that could do it better up in the stands, isn't it? But the Bible says this in Psalm 1:1. It tells us this: blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. You know why they're scornful? They're sitting down, analyzing everything that everybody else is doing wrong, and it steals our joy. If we would get out of the seat of the scornful, put our whistle down, and start getting onto the field and start to play, I'll tell you what, church would become such a better place for us. Because we wouldn't be so concerned about how somebody else is doing it. If there's one thing I've learned, if somebody invites me to go to work out with them and we're on the treadmill and they're yapping the whole time, they're not going fast enough. If they're talking while they're on the treadmill, just turn up the speed. Boop, boop, boop. I just reach over. And eventually, the thing that becomes most important is breathing, staying alive. I don't know if you can find that slide. We got to just put it up because it's really important. For those of you that are not from here, if you don't know Rap Replinger, you would know this. Point Panic, 90 feet and glassy. And when he got pounded, he could only think of one thing. Yeah. And then her, Faye Chanagi, head cheerleader at Furtado Memorial High School. I've seen it a couple of times. See, when you're too busy working, the only thing that you could think about is your next breath. Yeah. Jesus, I just need you to refresh me because I got to go. If we've got so much time that we can yap and just deride of everybody else, we're not going fast enough. I invite you to run top speed. I invite you to go as fast as you can possibly go, because blessed is the man who is doing what God wants us to do. Listen, here's almost the last thing. When we are busy enough doing the will of God, we'll have less energy to complain about how it's being done. I always tell people, hey, look, when you get onto the field with me, then you can complain about how I'm doing it. But if you're going to sit on the sideline, I got a nice big bag of shh for you. See, when people are with you, they're suffering with you, they're in the fire with you, come on, talk to me. Let's do this thing together. Amen. But when people just sit on the side and like, man, you look really hot. you should take a drink. No, that's not how you should do it. I don't want to have anything to do with what you got to say. Come and join me, and then let's talk one thing. If you're going to remember one thing today, this is what I want you to remember, and I'm sorry I skipped over a bunch of things. Read your scripture. Just one thing. Be an energetic, supernatural doer of God's word this week, and expect joy to flood into your life. It'll flood in. When you start doing God's word, for those of you that may not be long time in church or whatever like that, let me tell you what to do. Open your Bible, get a Bible, download a Bible, electronic Bible is cool. Go read the book of John. It's a great account of who Jesus was. And whatever the Bible says that, whatever it says to do, do it. And when you do it, joy is going to start to flood into your life. Really, it doesn't matter how long you've been serving God. If you would do the same thing, whatever the Bible says to do, do. I know it's really simple, but it's not easy. Just like, I don't know, lifting 500 pounds is simple. It's not easy. See, when we would become a doer of the Word of God, then joy will come in. You want joy to come into your life? Start doing. Start doing. Start doing. Not well heard, thou good and faithful servant. Not well thought, thou good and faithful servant. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Listen, enter in to the joy of your Lord. Let me pray for you today. Father, I thank you for the word of God. I thank you that you give us keys on how to live an exciting, crazy, supernatural kind of a life. Lord God, I thank you that we want to live a holy life, a life that's reflective of yours, and that when we do it, man, excitement's going to come into our world and things are going to change around us. God, thank you for sending us like a light into the darkness to make a difference in the world around us. We thank you for it. I speak a blessing over your people now in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Would you allow Pastor